If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Brownload, people. We've got a great one coming your way. We're talking about this monolith that we mentioned last week, and it might surprise you when we reveal who is actually behind it. Some of you might already know, some of you may not. All will be shared with you guys in just a few minutes' time. Plus, we're talking about the lyrics to Original Nutter by UK Apache and Shy FX and Visiting Santa Online. God, it's random. Shall we start?
What? One, two, three, four.
Keji's there. Look, he's there. Sachin, oh. Can you hear us? Hello, Sachin. Are you receiving us over?
Well, of course I'm hearing you. What do you mean? What were you expecting?
I don't know, because you're in Dubai right now. So
yeah, so?
I was expecting a servant who's answered the Skype.
No, in the royal palace. It's just normal. It's like I'm just, we're doing the podcast the same way. Nothing's changed. I'm just in a different place. That's all.
We just got one really long tar, one really long wire going to Sachin, and a couple of little short extensions that's for me and Ked.
That's all I did. Like when I put the cable in at my house back in South London, and that's it. It just came on a plane all the way.
So hold on a minute for people who didn't quite catch that. Me and Tommy are freezing our backsides off in London in -2 degrees, and Satch is in Dubai, or Dubai, and Dubai. Dubai, and God, the pronunciations by some desis of Dubai.
It's all about when people say Dubai.
Dubai. Yeah. The big question at Tesco, Dubai or not to buy the fake Christmas tree?
That is a question.
Firstly, you want to say, brilliant that this podcast feels no different and you can now chat away with us anywhere in the world. This could be the future of how we do podcasts.
It could be.
If you went and permanently based yourself in Dubai from now on, right, then that's all right, because our relationship, our podcast can carry on.
Still carries on as normal.
And can I just say, maybe it's in my head, but Kedge, look at his background, right? It's just a plain wall with a curtain, but something about it feels like it could be abroad. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like...
It's always a plain background when you're abroad, isn't it? It's always a plain background when you're abroad.
Even though it's plain, it still feels like it's foreign.
It's the colour of the white.
Do you know what? Like when I came here, this one thing I noticed, I was like, Tommy would like this, is floor to ceiling windows.
Windows. Oh, I love floor to ceiling.
Yeah. The whole of this wall is that.
Oh, nice. We see, in Dubai, you can do that. What are we going to look at? Fog. Oh, a lot of fog recently. Bro, it's been like a smoke machine's been let off outside the house. It's mad.
So hold on. The question, I guess, that everyone wants to know is, Satch, you are probably one of the very first Asians to have traveled on a plane after a very long time. A good boy, you collected all those tokens to Dubai on the back of cornflakes packets.
No, not cornflakes. It's on the back of something desi, the Cofresh lemon and chili crisps packets.
Correct.
Every Asian person
has them.
Yeah, there must be a stat. One in four British Asians this Christmas will be going to Dubai. It's got to be there. Yeah, so that's why you're saying the token.
Just say this for the people that Satch was taking the mickey out of people to go into Dubai. He's there now.
I wasn't taking the mickey out of them. All I said was the whole world is in Dubai right now.
Right.
And I'm going to stick to that point because... When people found out I was in Dubai, everyone was like, oh, I'm here too. Just random people messaging me saying, I'm here too.
The question is, tell us about the experience. What was it like?
The journey.
Okay. Dubai.
Well, I mean, you know, well, again, like, you know, we haven't, well, I haven't been on a plane since, what, this year, February. So it's kind of like I had to kind of learn the whole procedure again of going on a plane. Do you see what I mean? That was kind of an experience.
Was the procedure different? Was it different at the airport?
It was different in the sense of you couldn't get into the terminal without wearing a mask. And I was like, okay, cool. Kind of got used to that. But then I was thinking about it. You had to wear that mask until I got at the airport in Dubai. So a mask had been on my face for a very long time. Do you see what I mean? For the whole flight, the whole sort of 2 hours, you've got to be there before checking.
Can you take it off in the flight?
No, you can't take it off. You can take it off briefly when you're sort of having a drink and having a bit of food and stuff, but your mask always has to be on.
So you have to sleep with the mask on?
Yeah, you have to have it on. You can't have it off in the flight.
And don't they say, like, in Dubai, even if you're not wearing it on your face, you've got to, like, keep it on your chin? Like, it's got to be there still. It's got to be like don't just take it off.
Like in the UK, how everyone wears the mask, just around the chin.
Yeah, well, no, it's not around the chin. You just have to wear it all the time when you're out and about over here.
But getting here. Yeah, but even while you're having a drink or something to eat, they're saying, take it off. Keep it there. Because so when you're done, bang, you go straight back
on.
All right?
I was sporting the old sort of hanging off the one ear look. That's what I was doing on the plane because, you know, I don't really like it around my chin. You can't, like, kind of chew food and stuff properly.
No, it's because you're a DJ and you wear headphones on one ear and you wear your mask on one ear. If you had glasses, you'd probably just wear them on one ear.
I did have a problem with wearing a mask. And for one thing is whenever I get on a plane is I always chew chewing gum. Like, it's got to be like an airwave sort of thing. Like, you know, like the really strong one. I need that because my ears always pop.
Yeah.
Have you ever ate chewing gum with a mask on?
No.
That's like all of that vapor going into your eyes. And then I was crying. Like, it was a whole new experience.
It was so strong, so it's just going straight into your eyes.
Yeah. It's so strong in your mask, and then obviously from your mask, it sort of bleeds around near your eyes, and then that's it. My eyes were gone for I don't even remember taking off because I was crying.
He's lying. He was watching a Bollywood film. He got emotional. He went, "Oh no, it's the airwaves. It's the airwaves. It's gone into my eyes."
It's funny you mentioned that you had a little moment with your mask and you lost your virginity in having a chewing gum while wearing a mask. I lost my virginity of whilst wearing a mask with
really.
And I don't know.
She didn't want to look at your face.
I don't think anyone's done this because we haven't spoken about this. So I was in Tesco with the mask on.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, when your nose starts getting itchy, and I needed to sneeze.
What did you do?
Well, you can't take it off because I'm in the middle of Tesco. So I'm like, I don't want to sneeze. So I sneezed in the mask and it's disgusting.
Oh my God.
That is terrible.
What do you do?
Firstly, that has actually been a thing. And I've seen people talking about that, like, oh no, has anyone sneezed? Like, because sometimes a sneeze can come on very quickly. So you literally, or maybe you've got things in your hands. Maybe you're carrying a baby and you can't go, oh, mask off. So you just got to internalize it.
I can't sneeze in Tesco. Out, can you imagine? Oh, yeah, going for it massively in Tesco, down in the middle of people. They think that's it. Corona man's here.
Yeah, exactly. They look around at you like you're walking around with a plate.
Corona cage.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'd say sneezing into a mask is second to pooing your pants. Like, it's like that. It's this. It's just as
correct.
Nearly as disgusting. And it's like, oh man, what do I do now? Full change.
Speaking of disgusting, there's one thing that, again, a part of my sort of traveling experience, another sort of thing that I came across was a COVID test. I've never had one of those before.
You had one of them? Up your nose or the mouth?
I had to have one of those. So when you basically land in Dubai, you've got to have a COVID test. And so you go into this little booth thing and a lady shoves it down your throat and then in your nose.
Oh, thank God for that.
In Dubai?
Yeah, in Dubai, yeah. You get it done this
season. You got to have one before you go, though, right?
Nah, mate. If you come from the UK, you can just get it done in Dubai, and it's free. You ain't got to pay for it.
Yeah, the UK just want all the lurgy people to leave. They don't care. But it's Dubai, obviously, going in. They obviously care. So you have to have the nose and the mouth.
Oh no, I wonder, just add, because obviously I'm going to Dubai soon as well, right?
But yeah,
I think what that means is if you get to Dubai and you are test and you test positive, you got to quarantine the whole time you're there, or you get sent on a plane straight back home, right? Whereas if you have the test done here and it is valid for 96 hours before you arrive in Dubai, so as long as you do it within 4 days before. So if you have the test and you're all legit and you're cool, you then don't have it when you get to Dubai.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. So you, I mean, I could have run the risk of coming here and having it, and then I'll be about to basically quarantine for 2 weeks and then come home.
Because we've all the adults, all the adults have got in, like, traveling with us, have got to have the test done beforehand, not the kids.
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's weird because now you're like, I'll make sure I'm not mixing with anyone.
Exactly.
Now my holidays
I think I was like that. I think maybe for the sort of 3-4 days before I left to fly out, I was like, I'm not meeting anyone, not going anywhere, don't want to go to the shops or anything. Just so, you know, I get that that negative result when I came over here. So anyway, back to the test very quickly. Has anyone had that thing up their nose? The swab?
No.
I think she was so far down my nose it cleaned my brain.
Really?
Where did you feel it?
Be honest, where did you feel it tickle? Like whereabouts in your face? Like at the top of your nose, near your eyeball?
Forget the nose. It went right past that and it went straight into my skull, and I could feel it on the back of my head. It was horrific. Like, to the point where, again, I came out the booth and I was crying because, like, you know, when something just goes so far up your nose and your eyes just water. And the lady was like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Well, clearly I'm not."
Can I share something? No, you guys will vouch for me on this. Aren't I a sneezy person? I'm very easily the first thing that goes is me and my sneezing. Yeah,
you're gonna hate it.
I know. So if I'm a bit tired, I sneeze. If I was ever hungover, I'd sneeze. You know, even if I'm not eating properly throughout the day, it affects my nasal capacities. Cavities are affected. This I'm now absolutely dreading. I'm going to be sick for 4 days. That's 4 days. I'm telling you. If they shove that, if what you're saying is true, that.
Yes.
Oh, I know we briefly touched on this. I'd rather have it put somewhere else, which is typically a lot more uncomfortable. I would rather.
You know what it felt like, honestly? Even though it was like a long cotton bud, which is basically what it is, it felt like a broomstick up my nose.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Did you have to have it in the back of your throat as well?
Yes, so it was throat first, then nose.
I'm going to throw up on the person. Because I don't know how people do that. You know, like, if anything touches the back of my throat, you know, like, I don't, like if you have anything like that, it will make me gag. I will gag. There's no way. I can't tolerate that.
Can I just say, I feel sorry for the nurse who has to do this on Tommy. Not only is she going to have vomit, but a bucket load of snot on her and within seconds of her. She's going to be covered.
If I were her, I'd just say, yeah, he's definitely got it. Just because I'd be so annoyed with me as a customer. I once took my dad to a drive-through COVID test. He had to have it done, right? You don't get out of the car. They kind of do it from the window. You know what? This is payback because I laughed at him. I laughed hard at him. I filmed it actually on the sly on my phone. And because he was going, he's making all these noises. And I'm dying with laughter. And I'm showing it to my sisters afterwards. I sent it to the family group. I'm like, look at dad. And he's going, wah, yeah, wah. And my dad's also half laughing as he does it, but it's massively uncomfortable. And I've seen the size of that cricket bat that they stick up there. It's
humongous. Know,
right. It's and humongous. I'm like, so now it's payback. Now I'm going to get it as well.
I'm actually thinking of hanging around in Dubai until Tommy gets here so I can watch him do his test. I'll just go and wait in the airport. Because if I hear like this weird noises coming out of this booth, we know
I'll be the one with the bloodshot eyes still streaming out my nose. You got Kedge telling me, oh yeah, when you go jogging, you know, breathe in and out your nose, that makes my nose run. You got Sach going, yeah, I'll take these two cotton buds and just do what the lady says, stick them up your nose. I'm like, you know what, you guys are going to finish me off.
So while you've been away, Sach, there's been some few developments here. And I don't know about, because obviously I know you're from South London, but the first batch of the vaccines were delivered to Croydon.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I was like, my man's left. And all of a sudden, they figured it out. Let's drop all the first batch in Croydon. So I thought, oh, there you go. Sach would have been first in the line there, surely.
Oh, no, it was for all the old people, really. I'm not part of that. If Tommy lived in Croydon, then he would have probably
had it. Maybe. I come under there. Yeah.
And I don't know, but, you know, I don't know if it's appeared in the College Times, but basically UK had the first person to be vaccinated today as well. I thought I'd let you know about that.
She was 90, right?
Yeah, she was 90 years old. Margaret Keenan, and it's two jabs. You've got to have it 21 days apart. She had it. She goes, you couldn't even feel the prick going into her arm or anything like that. I just feel like
way to talk about the nursing staff. I mean, they're well trained. They're doing the best job they can. For language at her age, like that is disgusting. It's terrible.
She's 90. You know, you lose a bit of your sensory neurons and stuff.
Hey, what? I couldn't even feel the prick going into my arm.
मुझ में तुझको मिला था जो सुकून ले गई क्यों मुझसे चेहरे का नूर मुझ में तुझको मिला था जो सुकून ले गई क्यों मुझसे चेहरे का नूर छोटी तस्वीर तेरी से कहां मैं रखूं छीना तूने मुझसे क्यों मेरा सुकून काश ये होता नहीं होता अलग काश मैं खोता नहीं तेरी धड़क पास तू मेरे तो क्या सही कल खास तू मेरी मेरी थी जब काश ये होता नहीं होता अलग काश मैं खोता नहीं तेरी धड़क ताश के पत्तों से बिखरे बिखरे हम जुड़ न सके जुड़ न सके मुझ में तुझको मिला था जो सुकून ले गई क्यों मुझसे चेहरे का नूर छोटी तस्वीर तेरी से कहां मैं रखूं छीना तूने मुझसे क्यों मेरा सुकून कांच के टुकड़ों का अब बता मैं क्या करूं है मेरा नसीब ये या है मेरा गुरूर खुद की आंखों में अब और कितना गिरूं इस दिल से ही हूं मैं नाराज ना तेरा कसूर मुझ में तुझको मिला था जो सुकून ले गई क्यों मुझसे चेहरे का नूर छोटी तस्वीर तेरी इसे कहां मैं रखूं छीना तूने मुझसे क्यों मेरा सुकून
You know we're all about the positivity, right? So all we want to do with the podcast, with anything that we do, is just spread a bit of fun and joy and laughter anywhere we can. I've got some good news. Here is now something that, as a result of coronavirus, COVID, and the lockdown and the social distancing, here is something that I think is better than what it was before. Do you see what I mean? Like that actually social distancing makes this work better. And I'm talking about Santa's Grotto. Right. So this is the time of year. Santa's grottos are popping up all over the UK, well, all over the world. And kids go on in to meet Santa. They find out whether they're on the good list or the naughty list. And they tell Santa what they want for Christmas. And they leave the grotto.
Just very quickly about good list and naughty list. Is anyone really ever on the naughty list?
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
No, really. Like, as in Santa would turn around to a kid and say, you're a little prick. You're not on the naughty list.
Well... Yeah, I mean, like, listen, it depends on that kid's career. I guess Santa gets their kind of kid CV for the year and kind of just goes through it and thinks,
I've been on the naughty list since the age of 11.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Some people call it the kedgy list. Am I on the good list or am I on the kedgy list?
Yeah, I could find that quite, like, weird, to be quite honest. Like, you can't really say to the kid, oh, you've been a naughty kid, you ain't getting no presents this year. Santa doesn't even like you. God, you've got to be a cruel parent.
Tough love is what it is. It's to ensure that next year they buck their ideas up. Ultimately, we just want these young, impressionable minds to grow up to be fully rounded, well-balanced human beings. And that's why we let them know that only good people are welcome on Santa's good list. Time to buck their ideas up. My point is, there has been occasions where Santa hasn't got around to all of his different grottos, right? It's a lot of grottos all across the world. And I've been asked in the past to step in as Santa. That's true. I've done Santa's grotto two or three. Once at Milo's school, which was weird for Milo because he was like, Dad, what are you doing? As he walked in, I went, I'm sorry, son. And he goes, all right, well, you know what I want for Christmas. I'm going to just go. And I went, yeah, I think you better. And that was it. But, you know,
that poor kid.
I would say half the kids, 5 out of 10 of the kids that would come in were scared of Santa.
Yeah, that's because they've never seen a brown Father Christmas.
No, it had nothing to do with my brownness. And to be honest, because of all the beard and stuff and my light skin, you wouldn't really, you couldn't really tell. Plus, I've got quite rosy cheeks because it was quite warm in there. So I think it wasn't brown Santa freaking them out. These aren't little prejudiced kids. They're all, you know.
Santa is very white all the time.
Yes. Santa doesn't eat a mixed grill for lunch.
Exactly.
Yeah, he does. He eats 3 of them with the chips and the pitta. You know, yeah. No, but Santa doesn't smell a tarka and his nails aren't yellow. I get that, right?
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is now there is a service available where you can meet Santa online, okay? There's a few different ones. There's one particular that he's kind of running it. That's the main one. And what they've been doing since 32 days before Christmas, so this started at the end of November, you can have a different online Santa experience. And it involves kind of doing like little treasure hunts and going around your house. You can do things like that.
It's for adults.
Yeah, no, it's for kids and adults, for families during lockdown, right?
I'm just about to say that. Is Santa on OnlyFans or something?
OnlyFans.
No, this is not Gunther Claus. All right, this is Santa Claus.
To Santa experience.
No, this is all legit. I promise you, this is now it feels really naughty. Everything I say,
it does. But, it does feel naughty.
But then he goes, if I've got a slot free, he said, you can also book in for a one-on-one video chat.
Tommy,
webcam.
You got the wrong story, Tommy.
It sounds like bloody Babe Station, but it's not. It's Santa. You're booking for a one-on-one chat, and you can talk to Santa. My point is, this will be a lot better for those kids that would normally be freaked out, and now they don't have to be. So this works.
Own Santa channel now.
Huh? Santa, what? You're Santa?
Your own Santa channel now.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe I should. I could just have a live kind of Insta channel, and people just check in, pay a pound, and you can have a chat with Santa.
This
I don't know.
I mean, this is not very festive, this conversation right
now. No. It's my point was that with social distancing, this is something that could actually be better. And there's a brilliant version of it. And if there were slots available, I think I would book it for Milo and Logan.
Can I just say that this year I've noticed something which is kind of like bugging me a little bit. And that is a lot of people are having a second Christmas tree. Or a second and third Christmas tree. It only ever used to be the one.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like you have
isn't that the people with really big houses though? Like they were outside, one in the, you know.
Loads of armored me. Oh, here's my second Christmas tree in the porch. You know, and I'm thinking, what? When did this become normal all of a sudden? Why do you need two?
Everyone knows the porch is just for umbrellas and boots.
Correct.
Yeah, agree.
Chappers.
And post. Agree. And post.
It's funny you mention that, Kedge, because actually when I saw someone's house here in Dubai, they had a Christmas tree in the middle of their stairs, like in the sort of landing bit to go up the next set of stairs.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a weird place to put a Christmas tree. Why would you do that?
Yeah, and they got a main one in their living room as well.
And they got a main one downstairs, yeah.
Takes the mic all this.
Yeah, what is that? So like Santa doesn't have to come all the way down. He can just kind of come through the first floor and just leave the presents on the stairs. That's practically, it's going to be a bit of a nightmare when the kids want to get their presents in the morning.
If that's the case, you might as well put one on top of your chimney.
Just leave it there. Just going to go, don't worry about it. Just throw the presents down the chimney.
Lug them in from the chimney.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't. How big has your porch got to be if you're going to put a Christmas tree in it?
Well,
it's going to be massive.
I think people are just going for it. I think this year, no rules. People are just going for it. You know, like you said, a lot of people put trees up in November and all that.
Yeah.
People are like, you know what? Let's just whack in 2-3 Christmas trees, different themes.
And something that's getting a lot of love at the moment, which we spoke about, I think, a few podcasts ago, is the half a tree. The tree that's stuck to a wall. I've seen a lot of people raving about that this week, saying, oh, yeah, well, genius idea. I'm like, I'm not saying we claimed it, but we spoke about it a few weeks ago about how people are putting up, this is the other new thing, half a tree that sticks to the wall.
I think Nothing beats a corner Christmas tree.
Oh, I've not seen one of those.
That's so like a just a 90 degree one. Not because a half of one, it would need 180. I still think it takes a lot of space up because you're looking at the circumference around it on the floor. There's still a lot of spaceage being used. But if you go 90, then that means less lights, better for the environment, less decoration and paraphernalia on it, better for the environment, and just generally neat and tidy.
I know, you know what Kedge has done? He's bought a Christmas tree, cut it into four, and gone, here you go, Christmas trees for everybody.
I've got one in every room.
Last week, we were talking about this monolith thing that we think the aliens have put on our planet Earth. And I've got to say, they've been popping up sort of in all other random places this week. Have you seen that?
I think you're right. I think we're onto the fourth one. So it started off in Utah, America.
Yeah, it was in Utah.
Then that one disappeared. Or did the Romania one turn up first and then that one?
No. The Utah one was still there. The Romania one went there. So there was basically two at one point. And then the Utah one went away.
Yeah.
And then one popped up in California between sort of the last week.
Yeah.
And now
the Romania one disappeared.
Then the Romania one disappeared. Then California disappeared. And one ended up in the Isle of Wight a couple of days ago. I still think that one's there. And in the same time, one's popped up in some rural countryside in Spain. So now they've come to Europe.
Right. So we've been speaking about this last couple of podcasts. It's basically a giant metal, long rectangle cube thing.
Correct.
It's perfect. Perfect shiny metal. Looks like a stainless steel pan. You know, like perfectly, almost mirror-like, isn't it? It's so clean, that kind of silverness of it. If you haven't seen it, it's all over the internet. It's funny
you say stainless steel, because I mean, if these things were put up by Indians, they'd have like their name scribed on the side of the monument.
Correct.
You know, like how Indians have their dishes and it's got like, I don't know, Mr. blah, 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 whoever.
Just initials or something, yeah.
Initials or the family name or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? I just remembered when we were growing up, our metal tiles, had my mum's nail varnish.
Initials. Oh, a little red dot.
That was on it at the bottom of it, obviously. But it never came off. So whatever it was on permanent.
What's that there for? Is it so basically no one teeps it?
I guess so. I guess even back then, people would come around and take them.
Because, you know, like, obviously, back in the day, when you used to go to your, I don't know, nan's house or your uncle's house, and all 30 of you be eating there, you know, you'd need the extra dishes and that. So at the end of the night, you know that this one belongs to this room.
People bring their plates over.
So maybe that's the case with the monoliths. I don't know.
Well, no one's put their name on the monolith. However, I thought this week someone had came out, some artist group came out and claimed it.
There've been a few people who've tried to claim it. I'll be honest with you, but I mean,
you sound like you're not convinced. You sound like you think they tried to claim it.
Oh, I mean, you know, look, I don't want to, you know, start creating rumours or anything.
But, God forbid.
Oh, not like you, kid.
If you go back a couple of episodes, I mentioned, and I'm helping the listeners here, I mentioned we should go to Isle of Wight. for a little bender for my birthday.
Little jolly.
Accident came out of my mouth, right?
You did say that, yeah.
All of a sudden, there's one in Isle of Wight.
Mm.
All of a sudden, Satch takes off to Dubai. Right?
Yeah.
Guess where there might turn up a monolith soon?
Yeah. It's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're spelling it out for the people then now. You'd
to go to Spain this summer.
Yeah.
You guys don't know if I went or not.
Yep.
There's one in Spain.
And what was my nickname when I was traveling across America? I was known as the Kuta of Utah. So I was me, because, you know, I was just a dog. And look, Utah's where it's turned up.
I think we should put our claim out there and everyone know that it's the Brownlow that is behind
it. It's the Brownlow. It's official, everybody. It's official. We brought out the monolith. The monolith is ours. It's ours.
I'm so convinced it's ours. I'm going to give you a preview of where you can find it in if you go on.
Now you're, yes. All right.
Yeah.
We agreed we won't do that, Satch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All I'll say is if anyone is near one of the monoliths, tip it over underneath, you'll see SKT. Satchin, Kedge, Tommy. Right, it's written there. In my mum's nail varnish as well. Is there?
I'm just saying, if you go to Dubai Mall, you might find it.
Ooh.
It's coming to Dubai Mall.
There we go. This is where it's exclusive. But it's funny that because the monolith chat and everything that we've been, so yeah, people obviously thought was that a link to aliens. Obviously, we've now claimed it, discredited that, and you know, we've basically said it's the work of the Brownlow. But there is a lot of alien chat.
Yes.
That's flying around.
There's a Netflix show about aliens and stuff. It keeps popping up there. It's on Apple TV. There's an aliens show as well.
One on Apple TV.
There was one. Is that what you're saying? The one on Apple TV?
What's the one on Apple TV?
No, it's about ruins that are in the ground, but they said there's no way these ruins could be made by anything other than aliens from back in the day. What is this other world that's represented in these ruins? So it's incredible. It's mind-blowing. I forget what it's called.
So I heard a podcast with Joe Rogan, who is obviously the daddy of podcasts.
Yeah. He's good. He's a bit good.
Yeah, he's slightly good. Yeah, he's slightly good. He had this fella called James Fox, who's directed this documentary, which you guys need to see. It's called The Phenomenon. You know what? Just watch the trailer for this.
What's it on?
I think it's digitally available somewhere. I think we're going to have to just have a look around somewhere. I don't know where, but it's...
Digitally available somewhere.
I'm sure if you subscribe to a few streaming places, it'll be there.
Phenomenon.
Yeah.
Just point your chitter to the front window of your house and it will be digitally available straight into your hard drive. Same way the vaccine, same way the test for COVID-19 happens.
Go to the website. It's called 1091pictures.com, right? But just have a look at, watch the trailer to this. Now, I heard this James Fox speaking to Joe Rogan, and he's talking, and this documentary is being hailed as the most credible examination of the long-standing cover-up and the global mystery, which is involving unidentified aerial phenomenons.
Now, are they called that now? They're called unidentified aerial objects.
Phenomenon. Yeah.
Oh, so UAP.
UAP. You don't know me like ODB and all that. But anyway.
You don't know me like ODB. You just mixed up so many hip hop songs there.
Because anyway, right, let's not dissect that. Right. But can I just, there's one thing that he said. There's one thing he said to Joe Rogan. Yeah. And that was, and this
is Jamie Foxx, yeah? He's the actor.
James.
No, it's not Jamie Foxx.
I was having to do with Jamie Foxx.
No. Right. So this guy said that in the documentary, you'll see it, that the US Air Force or people who fly the really fast aircrafts and stuff like that, they have witnessed this triangle shape come out of the ocean, which is then covered, which is surrounded by a square rectangle shape, and it just shoots straight up. And they've captured this footage on iPhones. And Trump was almost going to reveal a lot of this stuff during his reign, and he was held back.
Oh, mate.
And they said they've got this footage, but they are not. Apparently, aliens have made a pact with the humans,
right,
to keep it a secret, because the humans are not ready to take in that we might have aliens on this planet already.
Tommy, very quick, has Kedge been drinking tonight?
I think it's something stronger than drink, clearly. No, you know what?
I sound like an absolute lulu, but I'm just reporting what I've heard and
more
what,
than usual.
Okay, two things very quickly. Firstly, if alien, I think we said this before, if aliens are going to land any year, or if we're going to discover that aliens exist, this is the year to do it, because this year has been so bonkers, right? It's been so unusual.
I said it at the beginning of lockdown. I said if aliens come down this year, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, there you go. So part two of that is, why are we indulging in these alien stories? It's because we're all boggled and we've all been locked up for too long. Do you know what I mean? So, Ked,
that's also true.
You know what? You know, it's like, you know, like the devil makes work for idle thumbs. It's almost like if you have an idle mind, then this is the devil making work for it by making you kind of go, oh, and aliens. And it feels more real than ever because the world's so bonkers and all the rules have gone out the window. However, I'm kind of with you, Kedge. I want it to be real. I'm ready. I'm ready for aliens.
And you know, just to whet that appetite, okay, I'm going to read a few of the reviews of this documentary. It's a brand new documentary. Here we go. This is from the former U.S. Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. He said, the phenomenon is a meritorious, I can't even say this word, it sounds alien to me, meritorious is meritorious. There you go.
Yeah, it's got merit. It's of merit.
It's the incredible, credible. Another one, the most compelling film ever made on the subject, a must see. This is the most important documentary film in the history of human civilization. Hi. And it's going to help change the course of it. I mean, I could read these reviews till the end of the day. There's so many brilliant ones from big people high up.
This is brilliant.
Let's go of homework, guys. Let's all watch this.
Phenomenon, right?
Phenomenon. Okay. Oh, well, I mean, this is great. The aliens have clearly got the best PR on side in the world to kind of, you know, give them they're basically making their, you know, entrance into Earth. And, you know, the whole world's watching because they've got the right people behind them.
Oh, I thought you said because they've hired Kedge to talk about it.
Well, Kedge PR too, clearly. Well. It's funny because you're obviously talking about this today, like in the New York Post, like I think it was the ex-Israeli space program fella said that aliens exist on this planet and they're not revealing it because people are not ready for it yet.
Yes.
And that was a direct quote.
These videos have been kicking around online for a while. You've got to see like one about there's like alien the president. I can't remember even, I think it was even George Bush. It was like, this is how old the video is. And they've got video footage of one of the security stood by the president's kind of podium while he's doing a speech, and they've zoomed in as the lights go dark. You can still see him because there's a bit of light from the stage, and he's got like gills and his eyes move in a weird way, and they even say, look at the way his head moves, and the way his head's moving is he's not looking like a human does, he's scanning like a kind of an animal does. And so when you see it, just look for it. Alien protecting president, you'll find it.
I feel like I'm in Men in Black.
Yeah, it is. It's like that. But like, honestly, I want it to happen. If you found out that actually, you know, I don't know, say Ed Sheeran is an alien, you go, oh, yeah, no wonder. His music's amazing. He just understands us. All these people that just achieved greatness. Steve Jobs, he's an alien, you know.
Can I just say, there's probably the likelihood of one of us out of the three being an alien.
Yep. And I know what you're thinking, Satch.
I know what you're thinking, mate.
Yeah, exactly. But no one needs to say it. And look at the alien. Look how nervous he looks. Yep, he ain't saying nothing. That's what he's been trained to do. Yeah, let's play a song. We're watching you, alien boy.
सब आखण तेनू बार बार तू लेडी गागा वर्गी सब आखण तेनू बार बार तू लेडी गागा नक 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 नखराने वापी तेरा दिले शराबी मेरा नशे जी लगदी है तू दारू दी लोड़ नी पैणी हां दारू दी लोड़
मैं तेरे उत्ते मरदा ते तू दारू ते मरदी सब आखण तेनू बार बार तू लेडी गागा वरगी सब आखण तेनू बार बार तू लेडी गागा नक 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 रन वापी तेरा दिले शराबी मेरा नशे जी लगती है तू दारू दी लोड नी पैनी हां दारू दी लोड नी पैनी
सो एज टॉमी सेड that maybe we have gone a little bit doolally because we have nothing to do this year. We've had a lot of time to ourselves. Maybe we're just slightly exaggerating some of the reality that we might be seeing day to day. Now, yes. I'm not saying we have, us three. Everything that we say on the podcast is 100% factually correct.
Of course. And
of course. We own the monolith. The monoliths are ours.
But I want to tell you about a bit of therapy that people... it's being offered now to members of public in the UK, and it's known as destruction therapy. Have you ever heard of this?
Is this... Destruction. Is it like, break down everything in your life and rebuild it from scratch? Is it a mental destruction or a physical destruction?
No, you are going for the full-on frustration that you can release your frustration by smashing up old cars with... anything and everything that you fancy, from a shotgun to a battle tank.
So like, you know, like when you see in like the films and someone like takes a bat to a car and they smash it up, or even a gangster drive-by shoot thing, you can do that to a car?
Yeah, you go down into the rage yard and you drive this scrap car around.
That's a great name, by the way, Rage Yard.
Rage, I know, it's brilliant. I would have thought this sounds like a brilliant idea for a TV show, doesn't it? And so you can blast shotguns at whatever you want in all these old cars. You can take controls of like those swinging wrecking ball kind of things.
Yeah. 6 tons.
Miley Cyrus. You can take control of a 56-ton tank. You can flip them. You could toss them. You can do whatever you want to it. And you just basically let out your frustration of the year. Slots for this experience cost just £20 and 20 pence.
Very good.
That is very cheap.
And you know there'll be a lot of people with some pent-up kind of frustrations.
It's not too late to get involved because they're going to do this as a ballot system. So it's not on a first come first basis. You just have to log on to the mix. Yeah, scrapcarcomparison.co.uk is the website.
Very good. Yeah.
I like the website. And
yeah. It, you know what? I've just remembered what this reminds me of. Was it a level in Street Fighter where after you fight a few people, you got to go bust up the car? Was that Street Fighter?
That was Street Fighter.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. You just go, jump on the other side,
I think it was a Lexus.
It was a Lexus. I pictured a grey DeLorean looking thing.
It was a big old Lexus, I remember. Like an old school Lexus, it was.
Best way to do it would be the low kick from right.
And then on top. Yeah, and then finish it off with a dragon punch. Yeah.
This thing sounds pretty interesting. Where can we find it? Where is it? Is it in the UK? And how can we go? Because I think, you know, after this year, I think a lot of people will be up for this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go through the details. It doesn't say where it is exactly, but it's, as I said, it's known as the Rage Yard Experience. Oh, it's in Northampton. There we go.
I think we should put ourselves in the ballot. I think we should definitely do that. Imagine how much it would just be fun. And firstly, it sounds like a fun, crazy experience. Yeah. I know, like, I've been to Vegas, and in Vegas, you can fire a machine gun. You know, you can go to places and you do that. Yeah, and you have like a little target and all that. And that's quite good. But this is more of a fun, this is like the crazy golf equivalent of, you know, this actually, now I'll tell you what this is. Before, what did they used to do back in the day? You used to have one of them little squeezy balls to let out your anger. You know, you're feeling frustrated.
Stress ball.
Squeeze a stress ball. But this goes, forget stress balls, mate. Stress balls cost you £3-4. This is for £20. Bang, go shoot up a car or go drive a tank over a car. Can't imagine that feeling.
It is amazing. And all this stress and everything. And it reminded me actually of a film that I saw over the weekend. And I've been dying to tell you about it. I've had to hold myself back and wait for the podcast. But I saw a film that it only came out this year. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called Unhinged.
I've seen it advertised. I've seen
Yes, so have I. I've not seen
it. Russell Crowe in it.
Oh, he's good. I like him. He's very good. He's Gladiator, isn't he?
Guys, this film is incredible, this film.
Oh, good,
like,
is it?
It's so, like, I don't want to tell you because I didn't know about it, right? I just put it on because I was told it's a bit of a thriller. But thriller is putting it mild. Like The Undoing was a thriller.
Yeah.
This made me jump. This made me go, oh, like there was bits that I couldn't look. It's not, it's a little bit gory, but it's not that kind of fake kind of gore for the sake of it. Do you know what I mean? It's very realistic.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe, like, you know, I said I've fallen in love with Hugh Grant again. I've fallen in love with this fella.
That's funny because Russell Crowe kind of, he was great with Gladiator and then some other films he did around that time. Then he drifted off a bit and he went a bit mad and I heard about he was just being a bit mean. But it's good to know if he's back with a good, credible role.
Like you said, everyone knows that he went off the rails and everything. He's put on a lot of weight for this role and it looks like he's actually just, because everyone thinks he's loopy, it looks like he's just playing himself.
Oh, yeah, right. It's an extension of himself. Okay, wicked. So it's Unhinged. On Netflix, is it?
It's not on Netflix. No, you've got to have to...
Download it from the sky. Okay, yeah, we get it. Yeah. Right, oh, fine. Yeah. Somewhere. Somewhere. Digitally available somewhere.
Yeah.
But no, it'll pop up on one of those ones, surely.
Speaking of an actor that's made a return, do you know what? On the flight, I actually watched a film all the way through. I watched two films on the plane actually, on the way to Dubai.
He's proud of himself. He's proud.
Being on the plane is the only time I get to watch films that properly and sit there and concentrate. And in particular, Bollywood films.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be Bollywood.
Yeah. What did you watch?
So I watched War with
Tiger Shroff,
Hrithik Roshan, and Tiger Shroff.
Yeah. When one of them trains the other one, but he goes rogue.
Yes. And I've got to say, I was really impressed with that film.
Good, honestly. Good effect. No, but
it was really good.
Yeah, the special effects are brilliant, aren't they?
Out of 10.
I'd give it a solid 7.
Wow.
Really good film.
For Satch, that's like saying a 9 for the regular film.
Yeah, that's big for Satch.
It's a very good film. They were going for some bits where you kind of looked like it was a bit James Bondy. Some bits were kind of like Michelin possibly kind of bits. I've got to say, Mission Impossible.
Oh, if it was Mission Impossible, I thought it was a new restaurant.
No, Mission Impossible. And I've got to say, the only things that I thought was a bit weird was it was such a serious film, they broke out into songs.
Yeah, they have to. Look, we're still in that crossover. Look, give it a few more years, that'll stop. Yeah,
that was the only thing that kind of let down a bit.
And what else did you see?
Great songs, but it was just, it went from a serious bit into dancing in a club.
There you go. Okay. So you got Kedge recommending something which is, you know, a thriller Gordy and one which is a bit Bondy. Gordy Bondy. I don't know what a Gordy Bondy is, but if you want a bit of Gordy Bondy action, Kedge and Satch are your boys.
Remember when I throw stones at your window? I could tell you're the one, you're the end goal. We were said we were what everyone was. No one thinks when you're deep and you're in it. Communicate like we're on different planets. It was time, it was done, but we didn't end all. Look at us now, what have we become? I don't recognize us anymore. How many times can we break up?
Time.
normally I have to listen to both of you saying, before we start anything today, before we start, we have to bring Kedge into the witness box and let's basically, you know, interrogate him, pull his studies down and completely make an absolute mockery of him because of certain things that he might have said.
We've never put your teddies down. You've done that.
I don't know where that came from. You're absolutely right, Seth. We can make a mockery of you without having to see your chitter or your front parts. I'm saying I have no interest as well.
But
Satch, in fact, that would probably add to the mockery, wouldn't it? Seeing your crockery would add to the mockery.
But can I just say, today we need to bring Tommy Sandu into the witness stand because, and we have had many, I mean, literally, I've had more complaints than Christmas cards about Tommy's cock-up in the last podcast.
Yeah,
it was a big one, Tommy, because we were talking about The Undoing, and very kindly, Tommy, you said, if no one wants to know what happened in The Undoing, fast forward five, and I waited, Tommy, he said, not 30 seconds, he went, fast forward 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think he said about seven.
Six, seven. Yeah. Very good. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. Anyway, so we had a lot of people who did
I didn't want to spoil it for those people. So I thought, let us just talk about it openly. Fast forward, and you'll join the conversation a little bit later on.
We were speaking about Bollywood wives, and you just revealed it.
In the middle of that.
In the middle of that.
Later on in the podcast.
Yes.
Yes. So you basically revealed it when you revealed it in that sort of 5 minutes, and then you went and did it. In the middle of the Bollywood.
So you kind of just done everyone up there properly, Tommy.
Yeah. Okay. Right. You know what? That is a mess up for me. And I'm sorry if I spoiled that show for anyone. Mm. But just so everybody knows, normally what happens in production. Hold on. Can I finish? Can I finish? Normally what happens when you work with two amazing award-winning producers who also happen to be friends who you allow onto the microphone now and then to enjoy what we call showbiz limelight. Normally those producers come with a producer hat on and they're watching for mistakes. They're watching for, oh, is he
How
talking
about producer?
Sorry. Are you piping up? Because you edited the podcast.
No, you signed it off. I left it in there to show off your mistake. This is what we have to work with every week. Right. I was doing this for us, mate.
It's a hard gig. If I'm on the witness stand,
if I'm going down, I'm going to have to take you down with me. I'm going to say, Your Honor, you'll see that Satch obviously saw the error, left it in. Kedge is Captain Hindsight right now, which means he should be made guilty as well.
I did it on purpose. I was like Nicole Kidman's friend. He did that thing in the toilet.
He did a little toilet.
But I'm sorry, genuinely, that's a proper mess up. It's a typical thing for us, but just let that be a lesson to you all. I cannot be trusted, we cannot be trusted. Kedgewoman probably balls up. In fact, Satch is probably the only one you can really trust so there you go, apologies done, is that right? Any other business?
Yeah, and the other thing that I asked the question, what is a SoBogo? We were watching Bollywood Wives and there was that phrase in there that none of us knew what it was. We thought it was maybe something from Wagamamas or something, a SoBogo. And actually someone cleared up that phrase. It is obviously a phrase from India and everyone from India would be familiar with it. Is a South Bombay girl. Nobo, North Bombay.
Weebo. So what would he, just finish off, what would East Bombay be?
Yobo.
Okay, so on that basis then, right? Okay, so I live in East London, so I'd be Elo.
Yeah.
Elo. Here you go, have it. Come and take it. Elo. Yeah, right. Satch, you're South London, so you'd be solo.
He's always solo.
That's riding solo, right? And Kedge, you're North London, you'll be Nolo. Do you want any Elo or Solo? No, mate, Nolo. No, none of that. None of the Kedge. No. Say Nolo to Kedge is Lolo. Thank you. Clarified.
So anyone who next travels to Mumbai, make sure you're in there with the lingo. Make sure you know. You'll probably be staying by the hotel near the airport, so you'll be Nobo.
Nobel. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. What have we learned this week, gentlemen? What are your wonderful facts, little takeaways from life that you want to share with the world?
So here's something I came across this week, and it was about a martial artist who basically punched through. He set a Guinness World Record, and he punched through. Do you know, like, clay sort of targets, like clay, when you go clay pigeon shooting, is like a little sort of clay plate, basically, isn't it? That gets thrown into space. So it's a martial artist who's basically punched through 62 of them in record time.
What? When they were flat?
Like, so basically they get flung in the air and he's just punching them, like, just straight ahead.
And
he's
while flying in the air?
Yeah, while they're flying in the air in front of him.
That's dangerous.
So is the record how many he did, or is the record how quickly he did it?
How many he did in 1 minute is what the record is.
60, that's more than 1 second then. So he's hitting it quicker than...
And this is the bit that blew my mind about the whole story. This guy, his name is Muhammad Rashid from Pakistan. Martial artist. Amazing. Mind blown.
I think I've seen him. I think I've seen him online. Has he got a few other world records under his belt?
I bet.
Has he got a moustache? Has he got like a Magnum PI?
No, it's the moustache.
I don't think Satch has had time to check under his belt.
I beg your pardon? No, I'm looking at his face, mate. Yeah, there's no moustache.
I know you're talking about, and actually, that is amazing. So he's still killing it. Okay, he's a repeat world record
holder. Here we go. This is what he's previously set. His record was...
Punching coconuts or walnuts?
No, he's cracked the most walnuts with his head in 1 minute.
That's the other record.
This is the one.
Yeah.
He's Tommy's mate.
Can I be honest? I slid into his DMs. I messaged him years ago when he first, but I never heard back. So this is an opportunity. I think I need to get him back on. I think that's amazing. Oh, and by the way, sorry, can I just quickly do a shout out to everyone listening in Pakistan, because we got some stats through this week, particularly from Spotify, and Pakistan is going up. So hello to everybody listening in Pakistan, and Muhammad Rashid and his family, and the walnut-breaking, board-breaking world record holders. The thing I learned this week is kind of links to what you just said, Satch, in a way, because it's another fighting thing. But it's not really like a fact how I've normally done things. This is more like a, this is happening? This is really going on, and you think, no, it must be a scammer. I went through it. You must have heard about it. The YouTuber Logan Paul is going to fight Floyd Money Mayweather, the greatest boxer that has ever lived. I mean, he has won more. He's 50 for none. You know, he's never been defeated. The last fight he had, Floyd Mayweather, was against, I know he said Ewan McGregor. That's the actor. What's his name? Conor McGregor.
Conor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. He fought Conor McGregor and obviously beat him. And now he's going again with Logan Paul, who's a YouTuber. And Logan Paul's only ever had one other fight to another YouTuber, which he lost. So this is clearly just a money thing, like
of course
the billionaire Floyd Mayweather needs it. But it's happening. So I was a bit disappointed, but equally kind of looking forward to seeing Floyd Mayweather in the ring again. It's going to be in February next year. But you're like, this is happening. YouTubers are now fighting professional boxers. So it got me thinking, Kedge, you do all of our social media. That's what you do for a living. Technically, you are a YouTuber, an Instagrammer. You're a personal...
How am I a YouTuber?
I'm just saying, same thing. Satch, we should just pair him up with some professional boxer that he can fight. Yes. Someone who's also got maybe a 12-year-old, because someone with the same sort of weight and frame.
Nassim Hamed.
He
wouldn't be able to move around the ring anymore. I'll be so quick. I'll be like a gazelle.
Yeah, just running for 12 rounds. But there you go. So I think there's a potential venture in this as well. But there you go. Look out for the fight. Kedge, what you learned?
Right. So my one was, it happened this Saturday morning, actually. And it was an experience.
It wouldn't happen this Saturday, because that's coming up. So
last Saturday. Sorry, last Saturday, I was in the car.
He really is an alien. Look, he's predicting the future. That's what it is.
Yeah. And I thought, I just fancied I fancied something a little bit crazy. And so I put on the shuffle, and Shy FX and UK Apache came on, right? Yeah. And it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to crank this up. I don't care who's watching me, because I was rolling into the Tesco car park. And it was, you know the intro, and it just starts, and the hype, and it just starts, you know, flowing through your blood veins and all of that. And, I didn't know it had that intro in the beginning as well.
You didn't know about One Day? One day some kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home.
Yeah.
You know why? It was out of respect. And have you heard, Satch, you must have heard, because that's from Goodfellas, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you heard the remix of it? Exactly the same song, but for some reason, that's not at the start of it. Sorry, that's on my running playlist, right? So I've got a different version of it, and there's a guy who goes, one day some kids tried to get into the club, but, you know, whatever, but I wouldn't let them in. No, one day the doorman wouldn't let me into the club until they saw me, but you know why? It was out of respect. So he's trying to change it to a doorman thing. It's like a different line, but it's almost like, I tell you what, in my mind, this is a conspiracy theory, is they weren't allowed to use the official line from the film. The song got too big, so they re-recorded it, but I might have made that up. So go on, so you listen to UK Apache, Wicked.
So it was like,
no, not Wicked. Wicked's by General Levy.
No, yeah, that's the other one. So it started, and then obviously everyone knows the famous lyrics. So if I say na ni ni wo, you would say
na na no.
And then I'll go again na ni ni wo.
Na 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 no no.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
No.
Right, we're all agreed on the lyrics there.
Yeah.
Then the next two lines are bad boys in a London.
Yeah.
You would say
boys in a Kingston.
No, England.
Oh, is it England? Right. Okay.
Yeah. So London, England, London capital, then England.
Yeah.
Now, if we skip to the last line of that, it's rude boys in a Kingston, right?
Yep.
So again, Kingston is a place in. So the line before that is bad boys in
London.
Oh, Jamaica, maybe we should be.
Yeah, exactly. So the full verse would be, is as you would be singing it in a club. Bad boys in a London, rude boys in England. Bad boys in Jamaica, rude boys in Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the lyrics.
Right. What are the lyrics? No. Bad boys in a London, rude boys in a England.
Yeah.
Bad boys in a he says Kirtan or something like that, doesn't he? What does he say?
Bad boys in Jamaica.
No, he doesn't say Jamaica. You're right. No, he doesn't say Jamaica. No, he says something like, bad boys in a Kirtan. It's like the word
Jamaica, because it's Kingston and then Jamaica, innit? Where else is Kingston? It's Kingston, Jamaica, isn't it? So it's got to be. No, don't Google nothing.
Have you got the answer?
No, this is why I want to clarify this, because I thought you would know this. So if it goes bad boys in a London, rude boys in an England, so you're thinking London, capital of England.
Yeah.
Right?
Look at I love the fact Kedge is turning like a credible street drum and bass jungle track into let's have a little look at the lyrics here.
This is
and
like
the geography.
This is like being in English literature. Do you know when you annotate
I like it that you guys are confused by this. And that means that everyone is going to be confused, because let's face it, you've only heard this track when you're completely mashed, right? Or in Satch's case, at the peak of his night, where it's really going nuts.
Or in Kedge's case, having a little shuffle in the car on your own.
On the way to Tesco's.
Little shuffle in, on the way to Tesco's. So, again, I say it again. Bad boys in a London, rude boys in an England. Bad boys in, it should be Jamaica, but like you said, it's something.
In a curtain. It's like curtain. It's like that.
He's not in the curtain, mate.
Yeah. Or is he trying to say Caribbean?
Boys in a Caribbean, that's too long. There's more
time. Right.
Bad boys in a Jamaica, rude boys in a Kingston.
Why do you make Jamaica sound so fresh and Indian? In a Jamaica?
Because it has to fit. Because it has to fit in this thing.
Yeah, but why can't you say it quickly without making it sound Indian? Because you make, honey, Jamaica, you kind of turn it into,
I'm going to do it in a way that people can understand. So I'm now going to read the official lyrics.
Please.
Bad boys in a London, rude boys in a England.
We got that bit.
Bad boys, him a take on, rude boys in a Kingston.
See, him a curtain. That's what him a take on.
It doesn't fit.
Yeah, it does. Bad boys in a London, rude boys in an England, bad boys in a Taycan, rude boys in a Kingston. It doesn't
matter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Shy FX, UK Apache, they completely messed it up. They should have just gone with Jamaica. It would have been much better.
Well, no, that's not the lyrics of the song.
Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't quite make sense. But again, I blame the producer. The producer had the sign off. You know, you can't be blaming UK Apache. He doesn't know. He's just writing the lyrics. He's churning it out. He's in the booth. He's on the microphone. The producer who produced the song should have said, you know what? Maybe we should make that in a Jamaica.
For 40 years, I thought it was Jamaica.
Yeah, but you didn't just sing Jamaica to it, did you?
No, you did.
Because it doesn't say, it sounds nothing like Jamaica.
What makes that? Listen to it again. I bet no one knew this.
No, well, they probably didn't, but you know why? Because they've got normal things in their life
to do.
And, you know, normal things that take up their mind and their mindset.
I've probably played that song over 5,000 times, I'd say. I've never really gone into the lyrics that much to be like, what's he actually saying? I don't care.
Yeah.
And then this is the problem, because like I said, you're a DJ, fair enough. But for the rest of us, you know, punters, we've already had about four drinks too many by then. So, you know, it sounds like Jamaica. And also, it's Kingston. Where else is Kingston? In Jamaica, it has to be.
There's a Kingston in South London as well.
Yeah, but he's already said London already. Bad boys in London, rude boys in England. He wouldn't go bad boys in England, rude boys in South London. In
correct.
Solo.
There you go.
Yeah, but then he does obviously pretext his whole conversation with the lyric, me I not a original, bad nutter. So he's sort of saying, my geography might be great because I'm a bit of a nutter. You know, exactly. So it's okay. We can forgive him. He's declaring he's a nutter. He's messing up his geography. Right. It's a great song. Let him enjoy it. And maybe, Kedge, what you should be doing is focusing on your fantasy football league team rather than analysing the lyrics to UK Apache. Because once again, out of the three of us, you've done the worst. Okay. You're still third place out of us three. Satch, by the way, in our overall brand load league, Satch, you're 13th. You're here. And you've jumped. Wow. I'm 43rd. Kedge, 54th. Yeah, so a whopping 11 places.
You're miles behind.
You're miles.
Can I just say, this week, though, Tommy, you got the least number of points.
By 2 points, Kedge. It was 71, 73, 74 between us, right? So there's nothing in it. But the fact is,
close the gap to 10 points now. It's on.
You've closed the gap. It was 12, now it's 10. Listen, I'm saying you're still, I could do a bud, you wouldn't smell it. You're that far behind.
So anyway, forget about us three. We've had a bit of a change in the top three, to be quite honest. Still in number one, we've got Happy Ending, Sukhpal Tor. He's in first place, 757 points. Number two, Anjit Singh, 714 points. And in third place now, we've got Mohammed Sajid with 711 points.
Wow.
The big up, Sukhpal. Big up, who's the second person?
Anjit Singh.
And big up Mohammed. Well done. Top three. So who's been knocked off there? Who was in that third spot that Mohammed has taken?
Prashant has knocked off.
And he's gone to fifth. We've got a fourth place fella in there as well called Samrat Mondeer.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Hey, listen, we love it now. I'm more into the Fantasy Football League this year than I've ever been before. I'm actually enjoying it. And we will keep bigging up those people in the top spot. So if you know anyone in our league and you want to get that shout out on the Brownload, get your team in order. Kedge, if you want to shout out one day, get your team in order, all right? Satch, you're in the running, Satch. You're a couple of good weeks away. If one of them can drop down to like fifth, in from third, then you can get up to, I'm telling you, I'm backing Satch.
I could be there.
Good stuff. Maybe this is the payoff, Kedge. You have to do badly in Fantasy Football League for Spurs to be top of the table.
So I'll happily do that.
Maybe you're like their kind of Nuzzard filter. Do you know what I mean? Like you're taking the Nuzzard off you. Yeah. And they're doing well. So the worse you do, the better they'll do.
Keep giving it. I will take it. Don't worry about it.
And people, you can take this podcast wherever you want to go. Tell your friends about it. Spread the good word. We'll be back next week. Satch, you're still in Dubai next week?
I am still in Dubai next week.
I'm still here next week. So this will be just like this next week. Until then, enjoy the sunshine, Satch. Just very quickly, what time is it right now? What time is it right now for you?
It is 1:16 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Quarter past one.
Yeah. And how warm is it? What's the temperature sort of saying?
It's about 26.
26. Oh,
it's not 26 degrees in my house with the heating on.
Yeah, sitting in shorts and t-shirt is lovely.
Oh,
really nice.
Yeah, lovely. I cannot wait to get out there. Good stuff. Okay, so were you going to say something, Ked?
I just wanted to say that it was a week also where we had so much love as well being sent to us for the Brownload. So thank you to everyone who did that. You know, a lot of people on Spotify, they were doing their Spotify Wrapped, and it was showing them the Brownload was their top listened to podcast, how many hours they put into it, how many minutes they put into it. And you know what? It just felt really nice, didn't it? I think we wanted to say thank you to everyone as well.
Thank you.
We're we're officially 2 years old, so we started I think last week, some point in last week was
to December.
Oh wow, look at it. So we had our second birthday, and what's weird about, well, not weird, I suppose what's different about podcasts rather than radio is when we're on the radio you get messages directly in, texts come through whilst you're speaking
straight away. Yeah,
and so we never know how kind of this is kind of going down, but this week, honestly, it's been humbling, isn't it? It's been, you read it. And a lot of people, I just want to say this, are saying things like, I don't want to name any names. It's just saying things like, it's been such a hard year that the podcast has been that little thing that just takes their mind off it. And oh my God, I know I speak for you boys when I say, if that doesn't make the whole thing, this whole bunger of Satch having a plug in a dart in the villa that he's at right now, and us thinking this up, us testing the lines and make sure it's all, if that doesn't make that all worthwhile, then I don't course. Know what else does. So thank you if it has served that purpose, and just please do tell your friends about it, because we just want everyone to know that we're here and we're spreading a little bit of joy via the Brownload. We will, as usual, see you next week. Laters, boys.
Laters.